in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And I'm just going to name other passages as we go along because I just want to leave a thought with you. I'll try not to be very long. God's already been good. But I want to leave something with you that you have something to chew on for a while. Maybe if I leave enough, it'll make you go search it yourself. Chapter 14, verse 8, and it says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon." How many of us lately have felt like that the enemy and evil forces are in pursuit of our lives? And you might not feel like that it's you, that you're in pretty good shape, but how many of us have loved ones that we feel like the devil's on their trail? And so many times we think, "Lord, there's no references, or there's nothing to tell me about what I'm going through right now." But I read about in the Old Testament here as Pharaoh took everything that he had to throw against them. And it began to remind me that there's plenty of times that I feel like that I'm stuck out in the wilderness. And if you read in verse 11, they complained unto Moses, and "Would you lead us out here to die? Lord, would you lead me as far as you have in this trial just to let me perish? Lord, would you take me this far? Lord, would you give me all these gifts just so I would be confused and fall to my own demise?" Have we been there lately? Trials of life will get you to a spot in your life where we're in question of God oftentimes. And they were in question to Moses because Moses was the one that was leading them at the time. But when I read about that pursuit, it makes me think about how the enemy's trying to pursue the children of God. Trying to pursue us and get us to quit in the gifts and callings that God has called us to do. Trying to get us just to be quiet, to get us to cease in what we do, Brent. To lay down everything that we've ever known, every testimony that we've ever lived through in our life. That should mean something. And yet over time, it begins to go numb in our heart and we count it so little. But God has been too good and done too much for our complaints to override our testimony. And I realize that when I begin to question God, that He puts back in my spirit nothing more than what He's done for me. I don't have to search any further than what God has already done. It proves true that He is real. It proves true that He is truth, that He is life. He's the one that will bring you through the storm when the devil is in hot pursuit of your life and your loved ones, in hot pursuit of your home or your finances. You know that He's right there, but the only thing that you'll have to keep you is the Spirit of God. Because you read, as Jesus told them, was telling Peter, "Satan hath desired to have you." Say have. To have you. He wants to own you. He wants to take ownership of your callings. To take ownership of it means to put a halt to it. If I own your car's not going anywhere because it's parked in my driveway and I've got the keys. Amen? But what did we get when Jesus paid the price on Calvary? We have keys too, don't we? Hallelujah. We have keys. We have power and dominion over the enemy. And we think that we have no control. But Satan hath desired that to have you. To have your life. And that applies to us, yes. But there are those that it's applying to as well. He wants them too. He wants you, your stuff, their stuff, anything that he can get that's vacant or willing. He's going after it. So if we have a vacancy sign on, come on now. Do we have our vacancy sign on? Usually we turn that off when we have the light of God in there and a little bit of boldness and authority begins to resound in our spiritual walk. And the enemy has no place where we speak the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I found to hold off the enemy of my life. When he's in pursuit of the things against me, I have to put Jesus as my boundaries. Not my strengths, not what I'm good at. Just because I enjoy computers and people pay me to work on them does not mean if I put enough of them around me that my life is going to be delivered from every trial. So my strengths are not enough. They're not enough. I cannot do enough to be happy. I cannot do enough to have peace. I could not do enough to make it into heaven. I can't do it. But by God, through Jesus Christ and the leadership of the Spirit, we're able to be one of His. And He's not ashamed of us. And we're able to go through. So what are you saying? How many of us hear complaints all the time from people? That's all we hear. That's all we hear. That's all that I ever hear. How I don't get paid enough. How my job's horrible. How these people and all around me that I thought were my friends are talking about me. We got everything in the world that we can name on our fingertips on speed dial. Got everything in the world. But I can't get anybody, if I pay him to tell me something in faith. Come on, church. I can't get anybody to tell me something in faith. Why? Because we're in pursuit. We're running. We're trying to get away. We're afraid. We're in fear. Why did you lead us out here to die? Why am I in the middle of this and not going to be able to make it? You know, where there is complaint, there is no faith. Where there is reservations, doubts, and fears, there is no faith. Faith moves God, doesn't it? Faith moves God. Not my doubts and my fears and my complaints and all that would try to come against me. But faith. So as you begin to read on, in verse 21, 22, the pursuit goes on, but by the given authority of God, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And as it goes on, the sea parts, and they cross on dry ground. To me, the parting of the sea represents the hindrances in their way being removed. Hallelujah. People in this modern day have got so many problems, looking for solutions, but not willing to step out into the dry ground when God makes the way. I can tell you how many times that people have prayed for me. And yes, the word was kind of strong in what I needed to do. And the waters parted. The waters parted for me. In that moment, the Spirit of God and the anointing was right there. The waters parted for me. And I let it pass me by. The waters closed back up. My hindrances were still present. I didn't go any further. I was out in the wilderness. There I was to perish. How many of us have let the waters come back together? There is a time and an opportunity for all things. Praise the Lord. There's a time for us to pass through that dry ground. There's a time for us at church to pass through on dry ground. The waters begin to part. The presence of God begins to stir up the people. And you're able to go through and let your hindrances be to your right and to your left. Paul put it like this, I look not to the left or to the right. Praise the Lord. And that all that he knows is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Man, I used to fight so hard for joy. I'm not going to lie. It used to make it such a tough battle. But it's really not, J.R. It's not. I used to think that it had to be such a... that I had to make everybody else happy before I could have joy. That's not it either. And I thought that all the mistakes I'd ever made in my life and in my mind and my heart and towards others could never ever let me have that joy. And I was wrong. As unction given by the Holy Ghost, I was able to come and receive forgiveness for my sins. As by the unction of the Spirit of God, I was able to put away and lay down every weight that hindered me in my life. So guys, when Monday comes around and you're standing there before the waters, don't turn around and look back to Moses and say, why did you lead me in the wilderness tonight? But move as God would lead you. Stretch forth your hand over your troubles. And be the people of God He's called us to be. They never would have stepped on dry ground Had Moses not been obedient to what God had placed on his heart to lift his hand over the sea and to believe. Praise God, I believe that with all my heart. If I had not believed that God was able to save me, able to deliver me, I don't feel like that it would have entered into my life and just fell on my doorstep. There was something in me that had to step out and believe what God wanted to do for me. I had to follow the unction of the Holy Spirit as it was given unto me. It wasn't something that if I just waited long enough for, that it would solve it for itself. I had to obey it. So what are we getting at? When that sea parts, you need to get going. Stop standing around and looking and not questioning God in the middle of it. Way too much baggage we're trying to carry to the sea. You see, Pharaoh brought everything that he could in the pursuit that he thought was going to be able to destroy them. But I find many a times that I bring plenty of enough on my own to destroy my own self. Don't bother, brother. I've already got more than enough to take me down. Amen. Don't worry about it. You don't have to say a word to me about how terrible I am. I've already been thinking about how terrible that I am. How many of us are carrying around our own ammunition and we're not letting it go, believing that God has forgiven us for our mistakes? Amen. Praise God. Destruction is destruction is destruction is destruction. It's coming that He would have you to sift you as wheat. Why do you think it's significant that they said wheat? Well, wheat, when it's grown, is plentiful together. It comes up easy. Nothing to plucking up wheat. So if we're not deeply rooted, if we're going to the sea and complaining, if we're complaining to God every day instead of praying every day, we can't make a difference in our life. We got to quit complaining to God and start praying to God. How many of us know that tonight? Because there's plenty of people that show up in their suits and in all of what they think's going to get them to glory. But complaining all the way there. Looking great, but sounding horrible. They can sing the sweetest songs I've ever heard. And you get in a conversation with them and you're bound for hell like they are. They'll bind you up and you're no better than they are. Because it's not in the shape that you should be in. There's a standard of living that we should adhere to. How many of us know that? Amen. Every time that wants to rise up in me, the only way that I'll ever conquer it is if I stop doing it. The only time that I'll ever get over being upset over things I cannot control is if I begin to use faith and belief towards God. The only way I'll conquer it. Otherwise, we're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. And those that weren't afflicted by the same thing we were, will go on through and we'll miss it altogether. What is that saying? That if we never get over what afflicts us, we'll never pass into what was intended for us to begin with. Can you imagine going through that pursuit, going through the sea, making it all the way through all that and still not making it to where you were intended to go? I don't want to do that. I want to go all the way. I want to go all the way. I don't want to get to a certain point in my life and let one silly thing hinder my walk with God. Amen. Not one complaint. Not one thing that gets me upset. Listen, what is it worth compared to how much that God has done? Yeah. What is it worth? It's not worth a thing. But you know why it's worth something? When we place a complaint value on it. A complaint value is twice as valuable as a good value. Why? Because of the emotional value you place on it. I couldn't tell you how many times that I've been upset over my job and the way that I wish that things would be different, the way I wish that people would be different, and the way that I wish the circumstances would begin to change. But I found that nothing changed the more that I complained. But it didn't make a difference whatsoever. But as I began to pray earnestly about that and not let that even just slip from my mouth, not even enter into my mind. Just say, Lord, you know, God, I know you see this. Lord, I know that you can help me in this situation. Listen, I thought about it the other day. Most of the time, I'm more at work than I am at home. I'm at my job just as much as I am at home. It's part of my life. And my walk with God on my job doesn't need to be complaining. If I'm able to be strong in God, inside here right now. I should be able to believe God when I go out on the job. I should be able to have that confidence that He placed in me. When I get up in the morning, I know that God is going to be there with me. When I'm able to go in the middle of the day, when something comes to try to ensnare me, I just let it go on by. Get behind me, devil. We're going on with our life. Hallelujah. I'm not standing here at the sea all day long. I'm not letting the waters close back in. And I'm definitely not getting in with Pharaoh's bunch and being destroyed with the rest of them. Let me get to this last part. Bet you're excited. It's not very long at all. Praise the Lord. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the hand of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto... But let's go back there. Let's go back to the flesh pots for a second. They were complaining and depending on those things. Hallelujah. Depending on ourselves, depending on what we could reach with our own hands, and still complaining to God who had brought them all through that. Is that not where we are sometimes? Amen. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Next day comes around. Lord, where are you? I cannot believe I'm in the middle of this mess. Oh, you've not been there before. I better get back up here and just preach to myself. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Something comes to really get a hold of you. It's testing what is inside of you. Praise God. This isn't about how much that you could put on so somebody could see how anointed that you are. It's about the anointing that you obtain in you, that when you scoot out of here, you have something that'll keep your life. Amen. That self-same spirit is that you would profit with all. But they were depending on the flesh pots. But as you go ahead and read on in the rest of that, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. That's a scary thing. We go on and read before. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. How many of us recognize the water out of the rock? How many of us recognize that as being representative to Jesus Christ? Praise God, He is our water in the rock. He is our impossible. Water in the rock to our eyes is what? It's impossible. Let's go out there and bust some rocks and see if we get any water. Not on our watch. Let's see if we work all together to make your job better. We just made yours better. Now I got fired for not being at mine. Be real with me tonight. If you are able to walk in His Spirit when the Spirit calls on you, more than just when we are ordained to be at a certain time here, you'll be able to come in with thanksgiving for what He's done for you. You'll be able to come in and not be ashamed because we've not done like we should have. I'm right there in that boat with you guys. When we get upset, it directly hinders what we're supposed to be doing. To the very minute. I don't know if you've ever been that in tune with the Spirit of God and you just feel an absolute outpouring and then something come right behind it and just absolutely steal it from you. It's almost like seeing two kids play with one another and the other one walk over and just take that toy, plumb right out of their hands, and they just got it. What are you getting at? Tell me. The point is this. We want to live in happiness. We want stable homes, stable lives, and we want all the blessings of God in our lives. But we are so busy evaluating all the things we don't have, evaluating the things we can't change, looking at all the things that trouble our spirit, that we're not able to build up the person that's dying inside. Who's dying? We're alive in here tonight. I'm talking about the spiritual men and women that's in this place tonight. We can work ourselves 50, 60, 70 hours to the bone and feel very much alive when you're tired. But when we're dwindling away in the spirit, you might not feel it at first. And you might think you're fine. But one day you're going to feel like you're in need and hungry, and it'll be time to call out on God. But we should never have to get there, should we? I don't believe we have to. God has raised me to believe that we should never get there. I might be poor. I might be barren without food in my house. I might be without transportation, but I can still be full and alive. What do you mean? What do you mean? I can have riches even if I have $0. Hallelujah. I can have joy even if everything around me is falling apart. Because that's the difference maker. That's the difference maker. And we can either face up to it and pass through to the promised land, or we can stand there and look at it and complain. But you know, Jesus is looking for people to come. He's looking for people to be obedient. Hallelujah. Here's what I asked last night. How many of us are called in the gift of knowledge? You know, it was scary. I didn't see very many hands going up when we went through the list, did we? People aren't even brave enough to admit it. It's a scary thing. Gift of prophecy. Gift of wisdom. Gift of faith. Gift of miracles. Gift of healings. Hallelujah. God has called us to launch out into all those things. But we can't get there if we're complaining. We can't get there if we're upset with our life. Because ultimately, when we're upset in ourselves, we're upset in our flesh. And our flesh is distracted from what God wants to do. What God wants to perform. See, God wants to perform something for you even now. Well, I don't feel it. Well, you got to step out there and reach it. You see, if I could possibly dedicate 24 hours to just absolutely worshiping God, I could not handle it because He would keep pouring out into me and I wouldn't be able to contain it. There's just no way. How many of us want to be closer to God? I want to be closer to Him. But you realize what step one is? It's here. It's inside of us. When you get out of here tonight and you go home, think about the things that always stand in your way. But don't deal with it the way that you always do. Take a different approach. I don't care what you have to do. Put Bible verses everywhere. Do something that you know will stir you up and inspire you. Put a 50-foot banner outside your house if it's going to get you stirred up in the Holy Spirit. Do something to get your attention that when you get up that we not forget the manner of men and women that we are. When we forget, we're neglecting. When we neglect, we starve ourselves to death. And then we're leaning on that old flesh pot again, saying, Lord, where are you? Bills are coming due, and I got nothing to pay them, Lord. Lord, where are you? All my family's in shambles and in turmoil, and it just doesn't seem like I can hold it together anymore. God's the only glue that can hold that together. God's the only one that has the storehouse to supply every need. Praise the Lord. Now I'm finished tonight, but I hope I said enough that you take it with you, that it encourages you, to let you know that, hey, Jared's been thinking about how we always get in that state of mind, but we got to get out of it. God's saying, come. It's not in condemnation, but He's saying, come. Come on out from that. Be ye separated. You know what happens when you do that? Jared, when he goes to work, isn't with the rest of the bunch that's complaining about how terrible things are. Jared just goes on and enjoys his life. And they wonder, gee, I wonder what got into him. He must have got a raise or something that we don't know about. Yeah, I definitely got an increase. Praise God, I got an increase. Hallelujah, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When you allow God to move that way, He'll keep you.